All you need for the drive home. The Grapevine on CRCFM.
Now I'm joined by Stephen Manning from Integrity Ireland, and the reason you're here is you had a few issues you wanted to raise regarding the controversy, if that's what it is at the moment, about the Ombudsman, the Garda Ombudsman Commission. What aspect of it concerns you?
There's a few things, Stephen. First of all, I don't think the general public are fully aware of the background to how the what's now known as GSOC, how GSOC was set up, and some of the key people who are in charge of it. One of the main issues, for example, is that the previous Garda Complaints Board, which was utterly discredited over the problems in Donegal with Garda corruption and such, the GSOC was supposed to replace that institution and bring about civilian oversight of what we could term Garda wrongdoing. Now, the very first problem we have here is that the previous CEO of the Garda Complaints Board, and I won't mention names here today, but the previous CEO of the Garda Complaints Board is currently the head of administration at the Garda Ombudsman Sia Conaire Commission. That's one of the first problems. We have on record with Integrity Ireland some scores of complaints about the fact that the Garda Ombudsman Commission doesn't seem to be able to carry out its stated mandate to actually properly investigate complaints about members of the Gardaí. And one of the first problems that we ran into was the discovery that once a complaint is made to the Garda Ombudsman, the very first thing they do apparently is notify the guards that are being complained about. That's understandable, of course, because they need to be notified. But the next step, apparently, is to notify the Garda Commissioner, who, from all the research we've done so far, is the very person who then appoints the investigating officers. And he appoints investigating officers from the ranks of Gardaí, usually senior members of Garda Sia Conaire, or at least senior members to the people who are being complained about. The next problem that arises is the fact that When these investigating officers, who are members of the Gardaí themselves, when they report back, they report their findings back to the Garda Ombudsman, who, we are told, then make a decision whether or not any given Gardaí needs to be reprimanded. But here's the interesting part. They do not reprimand the guards. They pass the suggestion back up to Garda Commissioner Callanan for his unilateral decision. And he doesn't even have to run the decision back past GSOC. In other words, he can make a decision about who's appointed in the first place to make the investigations, if any guards are found guilty of any wrongdoing, what the sanctions should be. And it's interesting to note, and I hope I'm quoting correctly here, but our most recent data tells us that I think it's less than 8 Garda, and they've all been ranking guards. No one above the rank of Garda has been sanctioned since the institution was set up.
And sorry, are you calling for GSOC to have the power to discipline Gardaí? Is that the kernel of what you're saying?
Well, we're led to believe that that's their function. We're led to believe that they are an independent civilian oversight body of Garda misbehaviour. But in fact, the way it actually works is that they are, if you like, the go-to body. But as soon as you approach the Garda Ombudsman Commission, matters seem to be handed back straight back over to the Garda Commissioner Callanan, who happens to be the one and only person in the ranks of the Garda Sia Conaire who cannot be held accountable to GSOC. And I might add that this differs, for example, from the UK and Northern Ireland, where the Chief Constable is answerable to their equivalent of GSOC.
So in terms of what you think would improve the situation, the main point is that it shouldn't go back to the Commissioner to take action. It should be GSOC themselves that should do something about it.
Yes, it seems somewhat obvious to me, Steve, that that is what independence means. There's another issue as well. We've written to the Garda Ombudsman on several occasions. Having been told in their paperwork, you know, in the documentation, it says that they use civilian investigators. Now, we asked them to name just one civilian investigator that worked for them. The name that gave back to us was Simon O'Brien. And Simon O'Brien, of course, is the lead chairperson at the Garda Ombudsman at the moment. Now, technically, Mr. O'Brien used to work in the Metropolitan Police in England, which of course would give him great credentials to be doing a job like this. Mm. Unfortunately, the last post he held was the head of the Garda Inspectorate, which was recently, how should I put this? Questions were raised about the functionality of the Garda Inspectorate and its effectiveness as another sort of, let's say, a branch within An Garda Síochána, supposedly there to help improve management and structures. But it was a three-person committee of which he was, I believe, the lead person, and he recently moved across into the Garda Ombudsman.
So in terms of who should be doing the job, are you calling for an independent lawyer or somebody of that nature? I mean, have you any suggestions about the kind of people that should be in there?
Yes, I mean, it would be wonderful if they actually listened to us, but if they had genuinely independent investigators who, for example, had access to the Garda Pulse system, which they do not at the moment, who did not have to report back to, for example, the Minister for Justice, Alan Shatter, and Garda Commissioner Callanan. And I will add again here, we have it in writing from Minister Shatter that the Garda Commissioner is independent in the carrying out of his duties, that the Garda Ombudsman is independent in the carrying out of their duties. But in recent events, we see that he obviously thought that they should be reporting matters straight back to him. So from the outside, it appears that there's this structure has been set up to independently investigate allegations of wrongdoing against members of An Garda Síochána. But in effect, it seems to be functioning almost exactly in the same way as the Garda Complaints Board. The only difference is we now have three commissioners who were appointed by the government to be figureheads for the organisation.
But at the moment, the way it's set up is the way it was intended, I presume. You're saying that it was basically set up in a way that favours the Gardaí. Is that your point?
I think that at the time, I think it was Minister Bertie Ahern and Minister McDowell who were responsible for initiating this idea of setting up a Garda Ombudsman based on the models in America and England, for example. The very fact that the CEO of the discredited Garda Complaints Board is still the head of administration rather suggests, and I'm sorry to be a little bit derogatory here or negative, but it rather suggests that all that really happened to the Garda Complaints Board is that it moved into another building, changed its name and appointed...
In fairness now, the head of administration wouldn't be involved in actual investigation. The administration is administration.
Yes.
I mean, it's the investigators, I presume, you're most concerned with, rather than the people doing the administration.
That's correct. And we also have it in writing from the Garda Ombudsman, again, from senior member of staff there, that the three commissioners have nothing to do with the day-to-day investigations of complaints. Now, we wrote back again and asked them, could you please explain what exactly they do? And we did not get a clear response. So we're now back to a position where we know there are some 90 staff working in the Garda Ombudsman at a cost of some 11 million a year to the taxpayer. And we can't get a clear understanding of what they're doing other than, and this is has been the experience, and I have to clarify here that I'm speaking as a representative of an association that deals with people who have concerns about the way their complaints are handled. So, of course, we'd have a slightly negative view because we've got scores of complaints from citizens who have said that when they go to the Garda Ombudsman with their complaints, they appear to be given the internal runaround. The efforts that are being put in by Ombudsman staff to rule out complaints as inadmissible, for example, they stretch the imagination. And I have a quote here from one of the letters I received back, and it regards a senior ranking member of An Garda Síochána who was accused of an offence against in the legislation that's called Non-Fatal Offences Against the Persons Act. Now, if you or I, Steve, committed one of these offences, we'd be facing 7 years in jail. But I have it written right here, and I'd be happy to show it to you yourself, that they wrote back to me when I put this particular complaint in about a senior ranking Gardaí, a senior one, that even if you have proof that this member of Garda Síochána committed this act, it would not constitute a breach of Garda disciplinary regulations or an offence. Therefore, it is inadmissible. And it, like I said, you just throw your arms up and wonder what on earth is going on here.
So maybe some form of an appeal against the inadmissibility of that issue would go someplace towards dealing with it?
Very good question. But again, unfortunately, as they put in the first generic letter you get from the Garda Ombudsman, they will say, you send us your information, we'll decide whether it's inadmissible or not. You cannot appeal against this decision.
Okay, a lot of food for thought there. Stephen Manning from Integrity Ireland, thank you for coming in. I've no doubt it's a topic we'll return to at another time. This is CRCFM, the programme is The Grapevine. I'm Stephen Byrne, standing in for Aidan Crowley. It's now 29 minutes past five.
The Grapevine with Aidan Crowley, with thanks to sunholidays.ie, the leading online travel agent.